Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Martin, comment ça va? Moi, ça va très bien, merci. Très, très bien. Stop that. I have no speaking French in this house. Oh, you kiss your man on that mouth. All right, it's just gone 0 minutes past 8 in the AM British Summer Time on Wednesday. It's now Wednesday, isn't it? The 8th. It is Wednesday, isn't it? So once or twice I've got that wrong, haven't I? It is Wednesday, the 8th of July in the year of our Lord 2026. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me, the very best people on earth. Getting involved in the chat. Consider, you know, doing a Rumble Rant or Super Chat if you want me to read that out at the end. Read them all out, don't I, every single day. You know, do the poll. That's free. Why not? Do hit the like button. That makes a big difference. We've always known it makes a difference. It's become more apparent recently that it really, really makes a difference. So please do, unless you're here hate watching this. Unless you're Greg Davies from Hope Not Hate making his little dossier on me. Or you're one of the reformtards. Can't stop hate watching. If you're not one of those, do hit the like button. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. Get the bell on, all that good stuff. I'm joined by my producer as every day, nearly every day. Little Harry, how are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, I'm all good.
A disembodied voice from the ether of the all-powerful producer. All right, should we stop faffing about, though? There's no need for all that fannying about, is there? Let's just get straight on with it. All right, what's the legacy corporate mainstream media banging on about this morning? So it's NIAGE Day, isn't it? It's a NIAGE Day. More or less wall-to-wall, Nigel and Reform. So guess get into it. A few things happened yesterday. Also a bit of Harry, Prince Harry. A little bit of Marine Le Pen as well. It's not on the front pages of Fleet Street, but I'll get to it anyway. Hence my French thing this morning. Been reading all about French stuff for like 36 hours now or more. So, okay. I was on the main podcast yesterday, wasn't I? If you watched that. Did a segment all about that. All about Marine Le Pen losing her appeal. That she won't stand for president because she'd always said if she was left with that electronic tag, she wouldn't do it because it wouldn't allow her to campaign properly and she'd be under curfew and it would be a humiliation and that she just wouldn't run. And that is what happened. She's left with that tag on. But she's going to run anyway. So my take yesterday afternoon is already wrong and out of date. She's mugged me off there. Made me look like a right to Bob. But no, we'll get into it. People expected her not to run. Okay, it's a Nigel Day. It's mainly a Nigel Day. Let's look at Fleet Street. Let's look at the front page of the paper. Let the people judge, says Nigel. It's the people of Clacton, but they're not the ones who judge. It's the Parliamentary Standards Committee that will need to judge. So, and Farage Gamble turns to farce, says the papers. All right, let's get into it then. The Tory graph, the Daily Telegraph. Harry humbled in court. Should we do this first? Get this one out of the way a bit first? Prince Harry, we talked about it yesterday, didn't we? Prince Harry and I think six other defendants, including there was a Simon Hughes MP, there was Elton John, or was it David Furnish? I think maybe both, but anyway. The John family, Elton John. There was Sadie Frost, wasn't there? Liz Hurley. A few high-profile people are taking the Associated News or the Daily Mail. They're taking the Daily Mail to court over allegedly infringing their privacy and getting information about them in illegal ways, hacking even. And the judge came back yesterday, finally, after months, like the case had been going on for months and months, came back and just found entirely in the Mail's favour. Harry and his cadre. Co-defendants or co-litigants completely and utterly lost on all counts. There was like 90 odd counts and they lost every single one. And the court costs might be like in, well, are in millions. Millions and millions of pounds. Okay. This sort of banner, it's not the headline, is it? But the banner says, there isn't a laundry in the cosmos big enough to wash all the dirty linen he has aired about his own family, Harry. For him to complain about his privacy being invaded takes not just the biscuit, but the whole tin. Fair enough. In fact, let's have a quick look at, was it the Daily Mail? The Mail itself, its front page. Just quickly skip to the front page of the Mail itself. There you go. You can see Nige almost across the board. There we go. Look, on that's the Times. Sorry. The Mail. Okay, look. This was nothing less than a conspiracy to destroy the Daily Mail, says the Daily Mail. But they're vindicated. I mean, they are. Harry said it was a whitewash. What do you say? Complete and utter, or a complete and obvious whitewash, he said, after the trial. That's the thing about trials and elections. It's just, it is what it is. Like, you have to accept the result at that point, even if you don't like it. I mean, you can moan about it, of course. But it is what it is. That's like sort of the final, that's the final reckoning, really. So, okay, vindicated, say the Mail. In a 46-day High Court case costing over £50 million, seven claimants, including Prince Harry, Baroness Lawrence, Stephen Lawrence's mum, somehow got ennobled, and Elton John, accused the Mail of 57 counts of illegal information gathering. I read somewhere else it was more like in the 90s. But anyway, they're saying here 57 counts of illegal information gathering. Over 40 of our journalists defending themselves in the witness box. And yesterday, in a landmark ruling, one of Britain's top judges rejected every single allegation. So, Harry and his lot say it's a whitewash, it's not fair. It was a stitch-up. And the press, the Mail, saying, no, this is a win for press, the freedom of the press. You make up your own mind on that one. Have a quick look at the Mail website as well. So front and centre on the website, of course. This is nothing less than a conspiracy to destroy the Daily Mail. Thankfully, a judge had the good sense to reject it, but the enemies of a free press won't go away. Conspiracy to destroy the Mail. One thing I'll say, because of course I haven't got a dog in the fight. Well, not exactly, not specifically in this case. It's a balancing act, isn't it? It is, in a good and fair and free society, in all honesty, in all seriousness, it is a balancing act between, as far as the press go, their right to expression and people's privacy. When they do cross the line, because they certainly have crossed the line over the years, many times, when they really do hack people's phones or at least get access to their voicemails and things like that, and hound them to some degree, and do all sorts of dodgy and nefarious things. Okay, all right. Well, in this case, the courts have decided in favour of the press. All right. It's probably the second biggest story today. What's the biggest story? It's Nigel Al-Farage, who doesn't care about demographic replacement. That's what he said, didn't he? To Stephen Edgington. Stephen Edgington flatly asked him, does he care about demographic decline and replacement? He said no. Ask if he was even a populist. No, I've never been a populist. Gloating about destroying anyone and everything to the right of him, Nigel Farage, that Nigel Farage. If we alienate Islam, we lose, that Nigel Farage. Compromised containment hypnotoad, globo homo, Nigel Farage, who can't pack his party with enough foreign people, Nigel Farage. It says, his gamble turns to farce, says the Telegraph. So, okay, the story is, should we recap a bit for anyone who might be out of the loop a little bit? There's various thorns in his side. to do with money. The £5 million from Christopher Harbone, a bit of money from Nat Posh George, various other bits of money here or there he's made. None of that is actually illegal, but the question is over whether, one, he declared it all correctly as far as parliamentary procedure is concerned, and two, perhaps more importantly, I think, was there a quid pro quo? People that give him money, do they expect something more than just a thank you from him? Even though Christopher Harbaugh's like a, isn't he even a billionaire? Even billionaires don't usually give away 5 million quid gratis. Even if you are their friend. They might have done. Did Harbaugh expect something more? Did a bullion company who gave Nigel loads of money, did they expect something other than the work he did for them, advertising them? Was there some sort of unwritten agreement that meant they would get something more than just Nigel's gratitude? Because if there is, then that's corruption, right? So, and we don't know, might not be. I've said all along, haven't I? I'm prepared to give Nigel the benefit of the doubt up to a point. But then it started getting a bit weird, didn't it? In interviews, when people are asking about Nigel, he's getting all tetchy and eggy, aggy about it, wasn't he? It's like saying, it's nothing to do with you. Well, you are one of the most high-profile people. You might be the Prime Minister, so it's kind of something to do with us. It's nothing to do with you. Don't know about that. And why are you being so weird about it? Okay. And then there was this. I tried to play this clip yesterday, but it didn't work, did it? But I think this was on Monday. Maybe Sunday night, Monday. Anyway, he's just getting off a plane, I believe. Or is he at Wimbledon? Oh, looks more like Wimbledon. Anyway, someone asked him, well, let's just watch this clip. And remember, bear this in mind. The questions might be not what Nigel wants to hear or answer, but they are legit questions. All right, let's just watch this clip.
Was it a mistake not to declare the gifts from George Cotterill, sir?
You tell your bosses, you harass my family anymore. And I'll take you the serious consequences. That's what your organisation has done this morning. Go away.
Nigel Farage's reaction to questions about the financial support he received from a convicted criminal and didn't declare. So what's the story here? Well, the Sunday Times reports this man, George Cotterill, paid for security and staff for Nigel Farage.
And I'll take you the serious consequences. That's what your organisation has done this morning. Go away.
Was it a mistake not to declare the gift, sir?
Did you not hear me? You have broken all the rules, Leveson and everything else. Cut.
I wouldn't get up in someone's face like that. I would never, unless I expected them to throw a punch. I wouldn't get up in someone's face, like right up to their face, telling them stuff like that. Unless you want to be in a fight. Not that journalist or Nigel, not that either of those were actually going to throw a punch, but that's pretty damn aggressive, considering it's just that journalist's job, right? I think. Why couldn't Nigel be the old Nigel, like completely ignore it, like the guy's not there? That's classic, isn't it? All politicians do that sort of thing, just ignore it. Or do the old yawn, or just say, "There's nothing. See, I've done nothing wrong," without breaking stride. What's that Sky News? Well, I've done nothing wrong. Yeah, but he does that. He acts like that. Okay. I've always said, haven't I, that this thing, all his finances stuff, it's either a proper bad scandal and could be the end of him politically, or it's a complete nothing burger. Well, it's now not a nothing burger. Can no longer claim to, you know, to give him all the credit in the world. You can't say it's a nothing burger anymore. He made sure of that because he came out yesterday, about 2 o'clock yesterday, did a speech. Was he in Milbank Tower? I think he was in Milbank Tower. Came out and did a little speech, sort of 15, 20 minutes long, saying he resigns as MP of Clacton. But he's not leaving Reform UK. He's not like leaving the country, going off to America and going to make loads of money in America, I think. He's just resigning as an MP, which will, of course, trigger a by-election there, which he then intends to stand in. Okay. Now, that's not completely unheard of. It's quite rare, but I mean, that Davis, Tory MP, do that a few years ago? Sometimes, if it's something like that, if an MP feels like their reputation is completely besmirched or something like that, or if they've lost the whip, been thrown out of the party, something like that. It's rare, but it does happen. They'll call a by-election in order to go back to the people of their constituency, just to make sure, sort of to make sure that they've still got their backing and that they can claim that they're not sort of sitting like a cuckoo in the nest in that seat when everyone wants them out. Again, it's rare, but it does happen. Okay, so Nigel did that. He pulled that gambit. But there's a number of problems with that. It doesn't really, for me, and a lot of other people, there's some problems with that. It doesn't answer the fundamental question. Like, even if he does win, which he probably will, almost certainly will, this by-election, and we'll get into why he sort of definitely will in a moment. All the other parties not standing, we'll get to that. It doesn't answer the fundamental question, which is, was there corruption? Was there a quid pro quo? Was there anything nefarious about the money? That doesn't answer that. Even if the good people of Clacton return him to Parliament, that isn't answered, is it, Nigel? You can make the argument, Nigel can and will, of course, make the argument that the people of Clacton want me and that's it. That's the end of it. There's a line under it. There won't be a line under it. No. When this first happened, in the few minutes and hours after this first happened yesterday, a lot of people, even some people in the office, were saying, that's smart. Nigel's played a blinder there. What a great piece of political theatre, political manoeuvring. Is it? Is it? I don't think it is. I think it's sort of a massive blunder. If you've got nothing to hide, Nigel, if there's really, really, really nothing there, you're 100% clean of any wrongdoing on any level, which is exactly what he claims. I've done nothing wrong. I've broken no law whatsoever. I've not broken the rules one tiny iota. That's his line. That's his angle. If that's true, just let the parliamentary watchdog thing play out. All you need to do is wait for that. What's all this about exactly? Misdirection. Key jangling or something. He's framing it as us, the people, reform people, collecting reform voters, us versus the establishment. It's your chance to put two fingers up to the establishment, is it? You sure about that? You sure about that? You're the establishment, Nigel, in many, many, many ways, in all sorts of ways. Anyway, I don't really see the angle. Like, he thinks it'll all go away. He'll do this, even if the other parties were to stand. He'd win that seat and it would all go away. Sky News, The Time, The Sunday Times will stop just asking questions about the Harbourne money. No. Like the Parliamentary Standards Committee investigation thing will just stop and go away. No, it won't. That's not how that works. I tweeted yesterday, fairly soon after this, I said, how does this by-election change the past? I.e. whether there was anything nefarious and corrupt to do with the monies he's received. Either that is corrupt or not. If there is something dodgy there or not. How does this by-election change that? It doesn't, of course, it doesn't. You think the shield of, oh, I went back to the people of Clacton and they returned me, so that's it. Like, that shield is enough forever, for all time. No. That the parliamentary investigation into him stops. Like, I saw people on Twitter saying, oh, well, if he gets re-elected in Clacton, then the parliamentary investigation just ends. It's a blank slate. He starts again. No, that's not how that works. That's not remotely how that works. Where'd you get that from? No. Sorry, no. That's just simply wrong. So, all right. There you go. And it's a bit of a thing, isn't it? That whenever whenever a politician has to go up in front of the cameras and make a statement of, I've done nothing wrong, even if it's completely and utterly true, you're already going down the path of destruction. I think, for example, a slight parallel, ever so slight parallel, with Richard Nixon to do with the Watergate scandal, which took ages to play out. The Watergate scandal took like 2 years to play out, something like that. Or more, was it even? Quite a while. Nixon would have to go on camera. He went on camera like an address to the nation. 3 or 4 times, 5 times even, each time saying, I've done nothing wrong. And the more you have to say it, even if it's true, it wasn't exactly true in Nixon's case, but even if it's true, the more you have to say it, the dodgier it is to have to get up and say, get up there and say, I've done nothing wrong. The British people need to know if Nigel Farage is a crook. Well, he's not a crook. Jesus Christ. Goddamn Disneyland. So, okay, so Nige does that. Nige plays this card. I don't think it's a smart move, a good move. I think it's odd. It's an attempt at deflection and distraction. All right. All the other parties came out and said, we're not even going to stand in it. Oof. Not exactly checkmate. It's a chess game. Not exactly mate, is it? But it's quite a good move from the rest of the parties. Look, Labour and Tories will not fight contests triggered by a reform leader who is facing investigation over millions in cash gifts. Yeah, it's not just Labour and Tories. It's also the Lib Dems, the Greens and Restore. So all the parties of any consequence. All of them have said, well, we're not going to stand in this. Guess when the reform leadership and Nige heard that in the hours after his speech, I wonder what they thought. They must have thought, oops. This whole gambit is backfiring. Well, it's turning into farce, according to the Telegraph. Like this thing, it's your chance, people of Clacton, to put two fingers up to the establishment. What establishment? You know, none of them are standing against you. Well, Count Binface. It's Nigel versus Count Binface. Binface is the establishment unity party now. All hail Count Binface, by the way. First Lord Binface. When England is in its time of most perilous need, a once and future bin face will emerge to save the people. Count bin face, let's go. 5 more years. All right. So all the parties, I mean, let me read a bit from an article from the Mail. It is Dan Hodges, who is a lefty weirdo. And has loads and loads of takes I profoundly disagree with. But nonetheless, sometimes he does write things that are just fair enough. Take it or leave it. He doesn't pull any punches. Old Hodges. Hodges says, this self-pitying, evasive and frankly boorish Nigel Farage was a pale shadow of the anti-establishment hero. I might just read this because it's got a couple of good, interesting things he says. Nigel Farage is angry because that was one of the things he said. He said, people have noticed I'm angry recently. I am angry. I've never been more angry. Yeah, because Sky News came round to one of his houses. That's known to be one of his houses. In fact, was it the one where he was seen banging the pots and pans for the NHS? Was it that one? I don't know. It's known to be one of his houses. Apparently the reporter knocked on the door. It's really early in the morning, actually. Quite inconvenient. I think before 8 a.m. someone knocked on the door trying to find Nigel to doorstep him to ask him something, but Nigel wasn't there, and his daughter opened the door, and that's made Nigel fantastically angry. He's trying to say that they're like putting his daughter's safety and data security in peril and stuff. I mean, it's not ideal, it's not nice, it's not something worthy of calling a by-election over. In my opinion, It seems like he's blown that up a bit more. Like we saw that clip when he was at, was it an airport or was it Wimbledon? I don't know. That clip where he gets right in the Sky News reporter's face. You've put Leveson, you've put my family in danger. How dare you? It's like, calm down. They were trying to find you. They weren't trying to dox your daughter. They were trying to, anyway. Nigel Farage is angry. You wouldn't like Nigel when he's angry. We know this because yesterday he went to great lengths to tell us. So yes, you can ask, am I angry? Well, I've never been angrier in my life. He raged in a recorded address to the nation from his reform bunker. The reason for his anger? A national newspaper had published a photo of a house owned by a family member. Oh, it was actually her house, was it? Apologies if I got that wrong. I thought it was one of his houses. I think he does own it and she and her partner rent it. Oh, I don't know. It's not really that important, is it? A house, incidentally, that Farage himself had happily posed in front of for photographs previously. Oh, there you go. And a broadcast journalist had knocked on the door of a family member whilst apparently trying to inquire about his whereabouts. He is also furious at the fact that he was being asked questions about his personal finances. Making money is not a crime, he insisted furiously. That's true, isn't it? That's true. It is a bit pinko and lefty for the media and other politicians like the Greens or whatever to be all butthurt that anyone makes any money ever. Yeah, that is weird and gross. Nigel's not wrong there. Okay. The really big question that I want to pose is, do we want leaders that know how to make money? Do we want leaders who have run businesses, employed people, and understand how the world works? Well, yeah, but that's not really what's the question here, is it? It's about whether there was a quid pro quo about that £5 million Christopher Harbourne gave you. So, okay. To which the answers from most reasonable people would be yes. But that's not the issue Reform's leader keeps dodging. He isn't currently under investigation by parliamentaries. He isn't currently under investigation by Parliament's sleaze watchdog for making an honest living. He's under investigation for accepting a staggering £5 million gift from a mysterious British tire sugar daddy, not declaring it, then telling the voters that legitimate questions about what he himself boasted was a lottery win were none of their business. He's also facing separate questions over accepting staff security and a flat near Buckingham Palace from an acquaintance called George Cottrell, a.k.a. Posh George, who is a convicted fraudster and recently published a book titled How to Launder Money. Yeah, apparently at the Gaunton, one thing I read the other day, at the Gaunton and Denton by-election, you know, the one Matt Goodwin failed to win, apparently on like the last day or on the day of polling, Nigel Farage left Gaunton and Denton to go down to London to be at the book opening or the book signing of How to Launder Money by Posh George. Weird. Okay, then he said, Nigel said, I have not broken the law in any way at all. Okay, it's a worry that you have to come on TV and say that. If that's 100% true, just, then it's fine. You know, tweet it out or something. But I have to make a whole song and dance about it. Farage furiously declared no, but some of his closest allies have. We know, too, that Nigel Farage is scared. Scared for his own safety. That's reasonable, though, Dan Hodges. That's reasonable. That's fair enough. I'm never, ever going to throw shade at Nigel for that angle of it all. I am the most physically and verbally attacked public figure or politician of modern times. May well be true, yeah. If not the most, certainly one of the most, yeah. As a politician, I kind of despise Nigel. When he said that to Edgington about demographics, despise him. He's going to capitulate to Islam because otherwise we lose. I despise him politically. Yeah, I don't want one hair on his head to be harmed. Yeah, if he knows a billionaire who can give him £5 million to keep him safe, good, genuinely good. Good, good, good. All right. This was why he needed millions of pounds for his personal security. He used the example of an occasion when his car was surrounded and written off by a hostile mob. Yeah. Yeah, good. Nigel should be protected. His person should be inviolate. Like a console or a pro console. Or a quaestor. or a tribune, tribune of the people. Their person is sacrosanct. Though in the midst of his justifiable anger at his at this appalling incident, i.e. his car being hounded out of a restaurant or a pub or whatever it was, and his car battered, appalling incident, he seems to have forgotten that that two of his parliamentary colleagues, Joe Cox and David Amis, were murdered during the course of their public duties. What do you mean, Dan? I doubt Nigel Farage has forgotten that. In fact, of course he hasn't forgotten that. Why are you throwing that in there? Classic Dan Hodges. Yeah. Little disingenuous, bad faith, little me thing to throw in there. Nigel seems to have forgotten about David Amos and Joe Cox, has he? No, he hasn't. Of course he hasn't. You know he hasn't. Dickhead. And that, in a nutshell, was the problem with yesterday's piece of political street theatre. Nigel Farage claimed his decision to give up his Clacton seat and call a by-election in which he will stand was all about David fronting up to the establishment Goliath. Nigel being David and the establishment being Goliath, of course. And a fresh mandate would leave him free to finish his populist revolution, he insisted. Nigel isn't a populist. He made it clear. He went to pains, in fact, to say there's nothing of the sort. But all right, Dan Hodges characterised it as a populist revolution. But it wasn't really about any of those things. Now we get into it. Here's the sort of take that I agree with from Hodges. Nigel Farage's statement was about one thing, Nigel Farage. Or, to be more accurate, someone who currently calls himself Nigel Farage. Because the self-pitying, evasive and frankly boorish figure we saw yesterday was a pale shadow of the engaging, irreverent swashbuckler who has spent the past decade cutting a swathe through the British political elite. Yeah, fair words, I think. There. His speech could have very simply been boiled down to two words, poor me. Everyone was out to get him. The Parliamentary Standards Commissioner, left-wing thugs, the editor of the Times, in Farage's eyes, just about everyone in British politics is to blame for his political woes other than him. Yes, his tightly controlled and choreographed media appearance will inevitably garner rave reviews amongst his social media cheerleaders. Yeah. I'll try and spin it like this isn't really terrible, like this isn't now some sort of open wound. Like it's actually great, it's a brilliant piece of political theatre, an amazing move, he's played a blinder. Has he? Or is it a big wound that he just opened up further? I've got a load of grit in it. Okay. He will inevitably be re-elected in what is effectively the safest reform seat in the entire country, especially given the major parties will not be standing and his only serious competition will be from the intergalactic space warrior Count Binface, First Lord Binface. But his victory will be a meaningless one because it will not address any of his or reform's basic structural problems. Yeah, it doesn't address the crux of the matter. Yeah, Dan Hodges is right. There. Through his infatuation with wealthy ex-lags, ex-criminal people, that means, if you don't know, and shadowy foreign crypto billionaires, Farage now appears to be in politics primarily for himself rather than any of the causes he used to so boldly champion. His regurgitation of cliched anti-press tropes to try to deflect from legitimate scrutiny simply reinforces the impression that he has something to hide. Yeah, like I say, like Nixon. I'm not a crook. How many times do you have to say that before it's like, well, anyway, you get it. And his increasingly tired rhetoric and demeanour is rapidly propelling Olukemu Badenoch into pole position as the standard bearer of the insurgent right. We'll see about that. Are you sure about that? We'll see about that. Which is why Farage's attempt to deflect from all of this by using the voters of Clacton as his human shield is doomed to fail. Don't know if it's doomed to fail, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, though, if the whole gambit backfires, essentially, if and when we get to a second by-election. The British people will look at the man taking his ego for a spin along the East Coast, compare it to the one who fought so tirelessly and tenaciously to free his country from the tentacles of Brussels, and ask each other, who is this imposter? Oof. Oof. Nigel Farage is meant to be a populist warrior. Again, he said he's not a populist. The embittered crybaby who hid behind his podium and his advisors yesterday and raged at the world is anything but, to use a phrase he and his supporters are very keen on, he has turned into British politics' biggest snowflake. And the heat generated by his sleazy dealings and relationships is seeing him melt under the pressure. Oh, great imagery, Dan Hodges. Great imagery. What a writer. The use of metaphor. Masterful. There was one way Reform's leader could have sought to transform his political fortunes yesterday. I agree with what he's about to say here. Come clean. Is the £5 million gift for security, as initially claimed, or something else? As he and his allies implied in a series of car crash interviews last week. What is the true nature of his relationship with Posh George Cottrell? What other undisclosed gifts from mystery benefactors are floating around? Yeah, come clean, the full hangout. If Nixon had done that, when the Watergate scandal broke, he's on his way back from China or Russia on an airplane when it broke. Nixon didn't order the plumbers to do that. If he'd just come clean at that moment and just said, oh, something dodgy has gone on here. Let's just completely find out what it is, even if it's embarrassing to me and the presidency. He wouldn't have had to have resigned a couple of years later. He didn't do that. He just lied about it and continued to pretend he hadn't done anything wrong on any level ever. Hodges says, but Nigel didn't come clean. Instead, he's running away from the scrutiny, running away from Parliament's sleaze watchdog, and hoping that amidst the circus of the upcoming by-election, he'll be able to slip away into the crowd. He won't. Yeah, he won't. Because the British people will be able to spot him a mile off. Well, the media won't stop. They know what the real Nigel Farage looks like. They can easily see through a doppelganger that stood before them yesterday, and they won't accept any cheap imitations. All right, that's enough from Dan Hodges for one day, but there you go. That says a lot of the things I think. A fair few of the points there. Like, well, that was most of the show. We'll do a longer one today. Why not? Slightly longer anyway. More than the last couple of days. All right, so that's Nigel's problems. That's where he is at the moment. All the other parties said, no, like the Greens said, he was a grifter. In fact, let's have a look at the BBC, because there was an article there. Yeah, look, let's read a little bit of this one. The response from all the other parties. Farage's rivals rule out standing in Clacton by-election. It really does undercut Nigel's strategy of going back to the good people of Clacton. It really undercuts it, like, dramatically. Here we go. Labour, the Conservatives, the Liberal Democrats, the Greens and Restore Britain have all ruled out contesting the Clacton by-election triggered by the resignation of Nigel Farage. The Reform UK leader said that, having announced his resignation, he would refight the Essex seat in what he billed as a people's versus the establishment by-election. Facing increasing scrutiny over his finances and a parliamentary investigation, Farage said, the people of Clacton should be the judge of my actions. Okay, to some extent, but again, well, apparently, well, I don't know if this is actually absolutely true. This is just one thing I read yesterday, that he was due over the next week or two to be interviewed by the parliamentary investigations process, that he would have to sit down with them, probably get grilled by them a bit. And that if he's not a sitting MP, he does avoid that. Is all of this to avoid that? I wouldn't have thought so. That is a bit far for me, but maybe. And he won't avoid it indefinitely anyway. Assuming he does get re-elected, which he probably will, almost certainly will, especially if no one stands against him. I doubt Count Binface. go camping face will beat him. So, so he'll still have to have that interview with them at some point anyway. But you remember when the 9/11 Commission wanted to sit down with George Bush Jr.? And he just put it off and put it off and put it off. And in the end, would only sit down with them with Dick Cheney next to him. And I think maybe lawyers as well. Weird. Got nothing to hide, just have a conversation with them. But no, can't, no. Anyway, I'm not saying Nigel Farage's finances or anything like 9/11, but still. If you've got nothing to hide, there shouldn't be any sort of problem, but okay. Foreign Secretary Yvette Cooper said the by-election, quote, shouldn't be happening, and accused Farage of throwing a political tantrum as a distraction. It does feel a bit like that, actually, doesn't it? I'm loath to agree with Yvette Cooper, Mrs. Ed Balls, on anything, but it does feel like that, doesn't it? Nobody is going to get drawn into what is a political stunt by Nigel Farage because he wants to duck and dive around the rules that apply to everyone, she told the BBC Breakfast. Farage on Tuesday said he had done nothing wrong in regards to his finances. Conservative leader, Nigerian woman Olukemi Badenoch, whose mum just came over to use our NHS, real scumbag move, said her party would not participate in the fake election. She's calling it a fake election, which Nigel Farage is causing to distract people from what is happening. The Liberal Democrats urged the government to block Farage's resignation. I'm not sure if they can. I'm not sure about that one. If he said it, though, maybe it is possible. So that doesn't seem right, though, either. Anyway, Ed Davey is not liberal, is he? In the true sense of the word liberal. Many of the things he says and advocates for are completely illiberal, in my opinion. Like flooding our country with foreign people to the point of demographic decline and destruction. What's liberal about that? The Liberal Democrats urged the government to block Farage's resignation until the standards investigation had concluded, arguing that his constituents needed, quote, all the facts before they cast their votes. Not a bad argument. It's not a silly argument, is it? We shouldn't be playing Mr. Farage's game to escape justice, party leader Sir Ed Davey told BBC Radio 4's Today programme. Restore Britain, set up by MP Rupert Lowe after he was suspended from reform, said it would not stand in this election, but would do so if a second by-election was ultimately triggered by the standards inquiry. The Green Party of England and Wales initially said it would be a decision for the local party. Later, Green MP Hannah Spencer told BBC Newsnight local members had decided not to field a candidate. And I said they called him like a grifter, I think. Somewhere, I can't remember if it was Zach Paulden. Zach Polanski, real name Dave Paulden. And I'm not sure if that was a quote from David Paulden, but he said, someone called him a grifter. And then it says, comedian John Harvey, who regularly runs in by-elections under the pseudonym Count Binface, has confirmed he will run. And they doxed. They doxed Count Binface, First Lord Binface. Go Lord Binface. He's not actually doxed. Surely his name was already out there. It's not a true doxing, but until I read that this morning, I didn't know Count Binface's real name. And there you go. Okay. So I say, let's back the Binface vote in Claxton. So it does make a bit of a farce, doesn't it? Of Nigel's thing, I think. All right, should we move on? We've spent ages on that, haven't we? Although it is the main story of the day by a long, long, long chalk. Burnham must raise taxes by £120 billion to avoid crisis, warns the OBR. Or cut spending. The idea that you must never, ever, ever cut spending. You just raise taxes. That paradigm can't last forever, can it? Especially if you increase taxes as well. Pakistan sets out demands to take before taking their rapist back. They're going to demand things of us. They said something like, we need to take seriously Pakistan's the things that Pakistan care about. In the broadest sense. We need to take those things more seriously before they'll consider taking back their rapist. Their prolific child rapist. the brass neck of it. Gross. The Express, it's a good paper. I can read your Express now. Nigel Farage triggers shock by-election. The rival parties won't field candidate. Let the people be the judges of my actions. Okay. The IR paper, I won't read the blurb because it's everything. We've gone through everything of note, more or less. I won't read the blurb, but it's the same thing. Wall to wall Nigel nearly today. The Financial Times, there you go, Nigel. It's a fake election. Bid to forestall funds inquiry. Vanity project dismissed. That's a quote. Someone's called it a vanity project. This by-election, not all of reform. Although all of reform is a vanity project, of course. Trump threatens to pull troops out of Europe despite NATO weapons pledges, because the big NATO thing is going on at the moment, isn't it? And Trump's there, it's in Turkey, in Ankara. And Trump, of course, like the big dog on the stage at NATO. Well, it's a big dog wherever he goes, isn't it? President of the United States. But particularly at NATO. Just threatening. And the other thing in the news cycle is he's talking about Greenland again. Not invading it or annexing it, but buying it. So he's talking all about Greenland again, but this time that you can just buy it from Denmark. Trump and people at the State Department and Pentagon, they do consider Greenland sort of strategic importance. And they're probably, well, they're not wrong, really. Why does Denmark want Greenland so much? I've heard lots and lots and lots of people. I say lots. Like loads there. I was massively exaggerating that for no good reason. Probably 5 or 6 people on Twitter or people that are subscribers to Lotus Eaters. At least 5 or 6, maybe 7 or 8, actual Danish people say that Greenland is like a millstone around their neck. It's annoying to them. It's a difficult appendage to them. They haven't really got the money to endlessly do infrastructure and things in Greenland. Greenland's just an annoying thing to them, basically. It's like something left over from centuries past. And as I say, it's some sort of millstone around their neck. So sell it to Trump then. Let him make the people of Greenland richer and safer. Denmark can't defend those waters. Cannot. Can it? Hasn't got the money and the infrastructure and the military and the navy to do that. All right, Farage's £5 million gift. All right, we've done it, haven't we? We're done with that. The Metro. The Metro. Gross. Farage's big bid. By-election gamble, okay. The Times, the venerable Times. There's Harry losing his court case and Tories and Labour won't fight the fake contest. Okay, in the Mirror. Mirror say, because they hate Farage. They've got the most Farage derangement syndrome of anyone, really, haven't they, the Mirror? A Farage quit fiasco. They're calling it a fiasco. Desperate. Humiliation as main party's snub contest. Yeah, a little bit. I wonder what the feeling was at Reform High Command when it came through that the parties were going to do that. Must have been a little bit of a sinking feeling. Unnecessary by-election will cost £200,000. I've heard more like £250,000, but whatever, in that ballpark. Farage says, oh, well, I don't want the public purse to suffer. I'll pay for that personally. You can't do that. You can't do that. That's not how things work. What, just a self-funded by-election? No. That absolutely can't work. PM's blast. He's up to his neck in sleaze. Yeah, even Sir Keir Starlin, who's got all sorts of sleaze things going on around him, hasn't he? Like clothes bills to those Ukraine boys, whatever, all sorts of things. Nonetheless, he was able to say that Farage is up to his neck in sleaze. That's the Prime Minister's words. The Mail, the Daily Mail, a wolf in sheep's clothing. Oh, we did this, didn't we? Obviously, gloating about their win, obviously, against Harry in the courts. And the Star, I go with Nigel and Harry. I told you it was a Nigel and Harry day. The Sun, Harry, Harry Kane'd. There's that football player, isn't there? Harry Kane. And to lose or get beaten is to be caned. Harry Kane'd. You got it. It's also a euphemism for being high, isn't it? It's Harry Kane'd. All right, they're the front pages. They're the front pages. Should we do our poll now? Should we have a look at our poll? We do our poll at this point in the show, don't we? It's already 10-2. All right, what was our poll today? It was, surely we asked you about Nigel, didn't we? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. So we said over 1,100 votes, getting up towards 1,200. Is Nigel Farage's by-election gamble a farce? Or we just simply put it to you, what you think. And the ayes have it. 81% of you say yes. 19% of you say no. Knocking up towards 1,200 votes. The glorious band, the chosen few. You know what you're doing. You know what you're talking about. It kind of is. Well, I feel like the response by all the other parties to not stand there, that's what makes it a farce, right? I mean, it's already an odd strategy, an odd gambit, slightly odd. As I say, doesn't address the crux of the matter. But where all the parties are not even going to stand it, other than count bin face, first of all, bin face, go bin face. That's what makes it a real sort of farce, doesn't it? Okay, all right. There we go. Should we have a look at the price of oil? Oh, because there's all sorts of stuff going down in Iran and the Straits of Hormuz as well. In this news cycle, for Britain at least. No one's really talking about that. But yeah, apparently is over the last few days. People seem to really, really not care much about Iran now, don't they? Anyway. Apparently, Iran fired on a few ships in the Straits of Hormuz. The United States fired all different things back into Iran, as many as 18 different targets, that the news is saying. Don't shoot the messenger, that's just what is being reported. And then Iran shot back at US bases, US assets in places like Bahrain. The price of oil has gone up a little bit. What, West Texas, knocking $73 a barrel. Brent crude, 76, getting up towards $77 a barrel, $76.50 a barrel. So again, still lower than when the war started in February, but it's actually ticked up a bit on the back of the last couple of days' exchange of fire. Okay. All right, we actually covered most of the other really big stories I wanted to talk about today as we were going along here. Other than just say a few words about Marine Le Pen. Jordan Bardella most affected, because it was going to be, if she didn't run, her deputy, that 30-year-old French man, Jordan Bardella, was going to run instead and almost certainly win. Well, not almost certainly, but kind of likely to win, odds on, just about to win and become the next president of France. But now Le Pen herself has decided she is going to run, even with a campaign, at least, with an ankle tag on. He won't then. So he's most affected. Bardella, most affected. Okay. Apparently he is slightly more favourable in the polls than her. Only slightly, but RN, National Rally, the party, the polls say that if he were to lead it into the presidential election, he'd probably do slightly better. But they'll definitely get, RN will definitely get to the second round of the presidential vote, and then it'll be it's a head-to-head, isn't it? Probably with a socialist, an actual socialist as well, not just sort of a lefty social democrat, but an actual socialist. Probably. We shall see. It's not till May next year. And then, possibly, I don't count my chickens before they're hatched, but possibly, hopefully, probably, the odds are on that RN and Marine Le Pen will win that, and she'll become Madame President. Will she not? Probably. We'll see. All right. There we go. That's the news. This is the news. let's have a look at on this day in history. Should we do that bit? I quite like doing that bit. I don't mind doing that bit. You guys seem to like me doing that bit. The 8th of July, down through the centuries, what happened of note? On the 8th of July, in the year 1099, the First Crusade. 15,000 starving Christian soldiers march in religious procession around Jerusalem as its Muslim defenders look on. Do you reckon, Harry, do you reckon that on my history theme show, which is behind the paywall on lotusesus.com, Bodega's Epochs, hundreds of hours of content, 270 plus episodes, each one long form, a body of work built up over 5 years, do you think there I talk all about the First Crusade in detail? Yeah, you consider signing up for as little as £5 a month, promise to your membership if you want to hear that. Do you want hundreds of hours of me talking about history, everything from Göbekli Tepe to Pearl Harbor? Well, it's there. £5 a month, good deal. A few hundred hours. All right, the First Crusade. It was incredible that they made it out of Antioch and got to Jerusalem at all. Massively against the odds that they got into Jerusalem and liberated it from the Muslims. But they did. The fact that the Franks, the Christians, took Jerusalem in 1099 is remarkable. All right, that's the First Crusade. On this day in 1497, Portuguese navigator Vasco da Gama departs on his first voyage and becomes the first European to reach India by sea. It's interesting, isn't it? You might have thought people had achieved that before that point, but no, by sea. First Europeans, of course, like the Arabs, had done it. I mean, of course, but in my long-form series all about Magellan, I actually talk for a while, a little bit, about Vasco da Gama. I talk all about the whole age of exploration, so that's there if you're interested. On this day in 1777, independent Vermont introduces a new constitution prohibiting slavery. Vermont there. See how many decades went by before it came to the crunch of the 1860s. Nearly 100 years. 80 years. Okay, on this day in 1800, Dr. Benjamin Waterhouse gives the first cowpox vaccination in the United States to his son to prevent smallpox. Of course, Jenner had done it earlier, a few years earlier. Was it like 5 years, not even 10 years earlier? Edward Jenner. Is that Jenner's Christian name, Edward? Anyway, Jenner, Dr. Jenner, had already done it, already shown that it was a possibility. But on this website, they're saying this is the first American doctor to do it. Okay. All right. On this day in 1853, Commodore Matthew Perry sails his frigate, the Susquehanna. I think I pronounced that correctly. The Susquehanna into Tokyo Bay, opening up Japan to Western influence and trade. Harry, I've got a long form piece of content. I mentioned it just the other day, didn't I? One of my many episodes of The Road to Pearl Harbor. Quite a long one as well. I think it's 2 hours. And I start it. Actually, I don't. I go back further, but I talk all about that incident. That's a really big incident where basically Japan was a closed society. Very, very closed. Not 100%, but sort of a hermit nation. They would only allow a very, very small number of people in and out of Japan, foreign people in and out of Japan. A very, very small enclave of Dutch, was it? Or Portuguese? You can't just go to Japan. No one can. If you haven't got permission from them, the second you set foot on their beach, they'll kill you. If they don't want to trade with you, they're not going to trade with you. This is the mid-19th century. Anyway, in the end, the United States are like, no, Japan is a massive market and a worry and a concern. So our modern ships still hold ships with cannon on them. We're just going to sail straight into Tokyo Bay because Japan have only got like wooden junks. There's literally nothing they can do to stop us. Commodore Matt Perry, not Chandler from Friends, not that Matt Perry. I think they were related. There's two Matt Perrys of note in history, Chandler and Commodore Matthew Perry of the mid-19th century. Yeah, America just and Matt Perry settled into Tokyo Bay saying you're trading with us now. Yeah, we are opening up your society now. How do you like that? What can you do about it? You can't do anything about it. You cannot touch our ships effectively. You send your entire navy against us. We'll just pick you off one by one by one, like shooting ducks in a barrel. No problem. So you're trading with us now, right? Yeah, good, good. It profoundly changed Japanese society, as you can imagine. It put a zap on their head, and they were like, oh, right, we've got to join the modern world. Okay. The fallout from that, in all sorts of ways, leads to Pearl Harbor almost 90 years later. A very important turning point in history. Matt Perry sailing into Tokyo Bay, particularly for Japan, of course, but in all of world history, really. Okay, on this day in 1948, was the 500th anniversary of the Russian Orthodox Church, and it's celebrated in Moscow. Okay. Okay. Not much to say about that. Russian Orthodoxy. Okay. Interesting to you if you're a Russian Orthodox, otherwise, meh. All right. On this day in 1949, South Africa's Prohibition of Mixed Marriages Act commences, prohibiting marriages or sexual relationships between white people and people of other races. Oh, yeah. Yeah, apartheid. But, of course, both sides are sort of... For example, much later, in like the 70s and 80s and 1990s, the other side did similar things. For example, black people might find that one of their own was in a relationship with an evil white. So they burn them alive in the street. Get a tyre, yeah, tyre off a car, yeah, when an empty one, no inner tube in it. Feel like the inside, or put some petrol on the inside of the tyre. Put that tyre over someone's head and shoulders and arms, so they're stuck in the tyre like that, and set fire to the petrol in the middle of the street, and then just watch them burn. A necklace, that's their necklace. Or sometimes just put the tyre just round their neck as a necklace. And then watch them turn into a blackened lump in the street. And dance around it. Necklacing. What did Nelson Mandela and Winnie Mandela have to say about that? Don't ask. Don't ask, just put a statue of Nelson Mandela up in Parliament Square. For the record, Winnie Mandela said, was a proponent of necklacing. She said to her opponents, we'll give them necklaces. Meaning that tyre petrol thing burnt alive in the street. But they were the good guys, were they? The Mandelas, were they? Were they? Sure about that? I've got to stop doing that. Three times in one show. That's too much. Okay. Let's do our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. I missed Global Church History yesterday. Wasn't in yesterday. You think you'll be in today? Hope so. Feel bereft without my Global Church History double factoids of a morning. Yep, he's there, in at number one. And new, because he missed a day. He's not still. He's new. The new. All right, Global Church History says, today in 19 AD, an earthquake struck many cities in Asia Minor and formed the island of Thia, near Delos. Okay, interesting. Is that right at the end of, like, the Age of... Oh, no, that's in the Age of Augustus, isn't it? Yeah, that'll be in the Age of Augustus. Interesting. Yeah, okay. That'll probably be documented in one of, like, Strabo or something. Okay, and on this day in 452 AD... the 5th century, mid-5th century, Pope Leo the First, Leo the Great, met with Attila the Hun to convince him not to attack the city. Got long-form content about that. It's a massive turning point in history. The church ever since said that was like divinely inspired and God wanted it that way. The reality was that probably, Attila the Hun was only ever there for money and plunder. Well, he didn't want to take Rome and occupy it and stay there and make that his capital going forward now. So the fact that the Pope came out and said, just have loads of our money, Attila the Hun, whose army needed money, really needed money at that point in his campaign, was like, okay, done. But Rome avoided a sacking, basically. Attila the Hun could have, maybe not, could have sacked Rome. I mean, at that point in history, Rome was difficult to sack. Although Alaric and the Goths had already done it, hadn't they, by that point? But Rome was particularly a difficult prospect. I mean, even Hannibal found it difficult. Hannibal never did he? The Hannibal Barker of Carthage. And anyway, the Pope gave Attila the Hun an offer he can't refuse, i.e. loads and loads and loads of gold and silver. And Attila the Hun went on his way, back up out of central Italy, back up out of Italy. There you go. Okay, thanks, Global Church History. Appreciate that. Fortean Barber says, morning, mate. All right? Yeah, I'm all right. You all right? Come on, Saba. You say, I know loads, Fox and Bimface. I know loads. Is that a typo you've put? I know loads, Fox and Bimface don't have a lot of chance in Clacton. Fox. What is Lawrence Fox going to do something? Is that? I don't know what you mean by Fox. Don't have a chance in Clacton, but wouldn't it be funny if one of them won over Farage? I'm still waiting for Rupert on Rogan 2. Yeah, I don't know when the Rogan thing comes out exactly, I'm afraid. Couldn't tell you on that. Yeah, I'm waiting for that. Everyone will watch that, won't they? Well, everyone, not everyone in the world. Everyone in the sphere will watch that, of course. Yeah, Count Binface obviously won't win against Nigel. He probably won't get more than a few hundred votes, but... Go Binface. The once and future Binface. Okay, Local Mosque Futurism, that's what they're called there, says, good morning, Bo. Let me introduce myself. I am the mortal nemesis of the diabolical Mr. Global Church History. What's going on here? And I will be usurping his throne from this moment. What? The gauntlet has been thrown down. Watch your back, Mr. History. Whoa. Stuff just got real. I would say this, though, Mr. Futurism. First name local, middle name mosque, last name futurism. I would say this, you've got to get up early in the morning to beat Global Church History. You've got to actually get up early. I mean, this morning, he's posted that at 6:47 a.m. Unless you live to the west of us, you live in Germany, east, further east than that. You're going to have to get up early. Wow, Global Church History, how do you feel about that? He's thrown down the gauntlet to you there. You're going to have that, you're not going to have that, are you? fight, no. Why am I so in discord among the glorious band of chosen few, my band of brothers? We're all brothers here. Come on. Let's love each other. Metaphorically. Okay. That's funny, though. Others have tried for Global Church History's crown. Was it a guy called Jetlag, wasn't it? Or something lag has tried and even succeeded once or twice. In getting up earlier than Global Church History, but it takes dedication. You gotta respect the grind of Global Church History. All right, we shall see. We shall see if Local Mosque Futurism is able to fulfill his claims. A claimant to the belt. Okay. Fictagious says, saying, are you sure about that, three times in one show is too much? Oh, question mark. Is it too much, you're asking? Are you sure about that? Lovely. Brilliant. Sure about that? All right, that's the Rumble rants. Let's have a look at the YouTube Super Chats. Let's have a look. Oh, Harry's already done it for me. Thank you. Anticipating me there. So, God, there's 20 or over a dozen. Let's start reading them out then. Jim Howard, 1900, says, Bo, if a restored government enacted the mass deportations, what do you think rent and sale prices of houses look like in 10 years' time? Yeah, they'd be lower. Yeah. Because the demand wouldn't be a breaking point. Yeah, house prices in this country are insanely inflated, as are rents. Depending where you are, not across the board 100%, but largely. Completely inflated to the point where younger people got no chance. You go and look at some little two-bedroomed, semi-detached, they want like £500,000. Like a three-bedroomed house, 800 grand. Nothing special, just in suburbia. No massive big back garden or anything. A three up, two down, semi-detached, 800 grand. Really? Really? It's mad. So yeah, the house prices, hopefully, and rents would come down. Yeah. All right. Oh, Rumble Rant just come in from 14 Barber saying, oui, ça va. Loza Fox said he was going to stand. Sorry for the typo. All right, Loza Fox. Okay, right. You put loads Fox. You meant Loza Fox. Lawrence Fox is going to stand, is he? I thought he said he'd joined or was at least affiliated himself to Restore. Have I got that wrong? So he's not going to stand for Restore, is he? So he just stands as an independent, maybe? That would be funny. I'm not Loza Fox's biggest fan, although I don't despise him or anything close to that, but that would be funny. I'd get behind him just to screw with Nige. Okay. Mr. Gently Benevolent says, unacceptable amount of foreign babble, Bo. Oh, la la la. Boof. It's funny, once or twice I've said, like, what have I said? I've said, Guten Morgen, I think I said once. People on Twitter immediately say, stop that. Stop all that nonsense. Can't do that. We come here to get away from foreigners, if anything. Okay, heard you loud and clear, Mr. Gently Benevolent. Was it Mr. Gently Benevolent as well that yesterday morning I missed a super chat right at the very, very end of the stream? It came in once I was already starting to wind down. Was it you? I can't remember. But you said you enjoyed the little bit of Civ 4 chat, Sid Meier's Civilization 4 chat I talked about. Sorry I missed that one, but if I've started my rundown monologue, it's too late, really, to interrupt that. So, I think it was you, wasn't it? Anyway. Okay, Mr. Dickie Bingo, how are you, sir? Met him in real life. Really nice chap. Quite funny on Twitter and all sorts. He says, French? !! I'd rather read The Guardian. People are not liking the French. I get it. One time ever. Won't do it again. Or maybe once. I'll leave it like a year or two. Might do it again. Probably won't do it again. Don't worry about it. I understand. We're English here. English speakers. Okay. Verity G-W-I-R. Gwir. Verity Gwir. Says, ideally, this £5 million, would be a payoff for Farage to F himself up, lose Clacton so that reform would be unelectable. An old gran can dream. Smiley face. It could lead to Nigel, the scandal just ballooning as far as Nigel and reform are concerned. The best possible thing. That's why I don't think Nigel's political acumen is very good at all. Made loads and loads and loads of really bad decisions on the strategic level, in my opinion. Like becoming as normie-friendly, Radio 4-friendly as possible, packing his own party with effectively foreign people, or actually foreign people, and appealing to Islam, not caring about demographic change, and this. Surely the best political move would be to do what he has always done, which was laugh it, or just attempt to laugh it off, yawn it away. Just wait for the Parliamentary Standards Committee to come to its conclusions. Unless he knows. Unless. It makes more sense, doesn't it, if Nigel knows that their conclusions will be there's something super dodgy here. It makes more sense if that's the case, doesn't it? It actually does make sense, but, well, at the moment he's insisting, isn't he? Insisting he's done absolutely nothing wrong. So, those two things don't really marry up, do they now? Odd. Okay. Angelic Detective 86, that's their name, says, "Hey Bo, greetings from the good old US of A. Just wondering if you'll get around to having that monocle we all voted on." Ah, yes. Somebody sent me a monocle in the post. Yeah, I've got it. It's funny. There's one issue with it, though, one small problem, is that where my vision is almost 20/20, when I put it in, it's just blurred. Everything's blurred. It doesn't like it doesn't actually like work as like magnifying. It doesn't work like that, does it? Things like that don't work like that. It's not a prescription, and it's not even. I think it's just for a show. It's just for show. But maybe tomorrow or Friday or next week, at some point, I'll get it out and I'll show you and I'll put it on. We'll have a laugh about it for a moment. But as for actually helping me read really small print across the room, no. But they said, and thank you to the person that sent me it as well. I can't remember who it was. Sorry, I'll go back over my Twitter because you also added me in a tweet. I'll go back and I'll find out. And when I use it on the show one day, I use it when I put it on for a laugh, I'll give you a shout out. Thanks for that. So yeah, I am actually the proud owner of a monocle now. Okay. Thank you, Angelic Detective 86, for the super chat there. Next one. Principal Duncertainty said, "It's a suitably buffoonish end for this sketchy grifter." Principal Duncertainty, pulling no punches there. I guess there might be a slight typo, but you've said, "I guess he has no way out of this. He has no way out of this. Now, can we finally get a serious person?" Mr. Lowe. The Honourable Mr. Lowe MP, member for Great Yarmouth. Okay. The Educated Yobo says, "I bet when Nigel made his speech about the people versus the establishment, he didn't expect to be playing the role of the establishment against Binface." Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's a sort of quite astute move by the rest of the parties. Chess move, quite astute of them. To just flip the script on Nigel like that. "Oh, it's you versus the establishment, is it? No, you're the establishment. Binface is the David. Oh, so David and Goliath, is it? No, you're Goliath. By default, we'll make Binface, first of all, Binface, go Binface. We'll make him the David in the David and Goliath out of this thing." Yeah. Okay. Thomas Glover, 92, says, "Oh, are you familiar with the Marquis of Anglesey and his heirs?" Not sure if I am. "They have a massive estate in Staffordshire, aptly named Bow Desert, which ended in ruin." Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know anything about that. I'll Google that. That's interesting to me. The Marquis of Anglesey, who had estates in Staffs. Okay. I'll check that out. Before now, I've done a couple of various jokes on Twitter about surrounding the name Bo and loads of other people on Twitter called Bo. Things in the world that have got the word Bo in it. Occasionally I'll do that. So, that's interesting to me. Okay, thanks. MQSSS or MQSS says, "For your safety or whatever you want to spend it on." Oh, the super chat money. "For your safety or whatever you want to spend it on." Thank you. "Perhaps for ice cream or hidden air conditioning units under the floor." Well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you. It is, well, we're a bit of another heat wave in Britain at the moment, isn't it? I'm surprised. Well, when it's a more slower news day, perhaps if tomorrow's a slightly more slow news day, they'll start talking all about the heat wave again. Last night was quite muggy in Britain, wasn't it? really quite close. Okay. Mike or Clem says, the rotation of Earth really makes my day. Huh. He's here all week, people. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Max Robe said, Greenland for the Frisians. What about the entirely indigenous peoples of Greenland? Nobody cares about them, do they? They're nearly always bottom of people's lists. You know, like, Denmark claim that, like, it's theirs by right. There were indigenous peoples there before. Oh, no, actually, I've had this before. Did the Danes get there before, like, the Inuit people, even? Is that right? I think that might be right. I'll save judgment on that one until I re-read up on that one. So I think I said that before. The indigenous Inuit peoples have been there before the Danes. And people said, actually, that's not true. The Danes were there first. I'm not sure. I can't remember. Okay, anyway. You're only joking anyway. Greenland for the Frisians. Maybe you're not joking. Okay, we've still got half a dozen or more to get through. Principal Dunsetsy says, technically, they cannot stop him from running over and over, even if they endlessly suspend him. This could get very strange. Yeah, I thought that. I might be wrong. I'm not going to bet my reputation on it. But I thought where Ed Davey said the government should stop Nigel Farage from triggering this by-election, I don't think they can. That was my impression. Might be wrong about that. But yeah, you say that they can't. Surely you can't force someone to be an MP if they don't want to? I say surely. Maybe you can. I'm not sure. Interesting. Erwin Romulus said, Binface is launching his campaign at 8:30 this evening in London. What a serious country we live in. # Britain bins Nigel. # bin for the win. Bin for the win, that's quite good. Bin for the win. The once and future Binface. First Lord Binface. Okay, Erwin Romulus again says, stand down, got the date wrong. The Great Leap Binward begins tomorrow. The Great Leap Binward begins tomorrow at 8:30 in the evening, not today. Okay. You send a correspondent down there. Send Big Harry down there. Try and get some Vox Pops. Okay. Emily Forrestor says, B, any chance of being married to a German centrist? He thinks I've gone fascist. Oh, sorry, any advice? Sorry. B, Bo. Any advice on being married to a centrist, a German centrist, ? He thinks I've gone fascist. I need him to wake up. We're still in love, but it's getting sad. Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Talk to him about demographic decline. Are you live in Britain? I imagine you do. He's German. What about the endless waves of terrorism and sex crime and organised crime in Germany and Britain? Is he not aware of it? Does he not care? The demographic decline in Germany and Britain. Does he not care about that? It's just one of those centuries. Just no, la 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 la, it's all good. It's all the same as it was in 1985. No. How can they not... I don't know, when you talk to some people about this and you'll argue with them, you'll paint them into a corner rhetorically where they can't deny it, okay, then you leave them, you come back in a day, a week, a month, and they're still holding all their old positions again. And it's like, what? Like, you argue with someone about climate science, you talk to them all about how CO2 is only 400 parts per million and the man-made part of that is even less, and all that stuff. And they can't disagree because there's no way to disagree. Come back to them a week later, they're still talking about that the Earth's going to be destroyed. We're going to destroy the Earth. So. What can you do? It's very difficult to change people's minds. It's very, very difficult. They have to feel like they've come to the conclusion. You have to very, very gently coerce them towards the truth. You can't just browbeat. Very rarely can you browbeat someone into submission and they change their mind on anything ever. It's very rare. It's difficult to change people's minds. It's a long process. Very subtly, gently coax them towards, chip away at it delicately. So I would say, just to keep telling someone something, you're wrong, I'm right, it's this, it's this, it's this. That will very, very rarely work. It just causes resentment, doesn't it? Okay, Emily Furrestore said, best of luck to you, by the way. If you're saying it's actually getting sad. Sorry to hear that, really, I really am. Emily Furrestore again, sorry, same person said, I've shown him the stats. He disagrees with the fix. Oh, well, what fix has he got then? I'll throw that back at him. Well, okay. If it's not remigration, what then? Integration, let's talk all about that. That was always a fallacy. That was always a joke. That never worked. Hardly ever. Hardly ever. Well, one or two examples of it, of course. That hardly ever works. So what's your fix, bro? I'm waiting. Okay, Tatum2733 says, when we win, we'll play Total War Rome for days. That's what winning looks like. You're free to grill and play Rome Total War without being replaced in your one and only ancestral homeland, and your women are safe to walk the streets at night. That's what winning looks like. James Lee Pevenhole doesn't say anything and just gives a generous amount in Super Chat. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I appreciate that. The same person, though, then does another one and has said something. They've said, Beaudesert was taken by William Paget, first Baron Paget. That will be in the Civil War, right? His daughter married Sir Henry Lee, one of my crowd. Anne's tomb is in Aylesbury Church. Okay, William Paget, is that the Civil War times, isn't it? Oliver Cromwell, Charles I times, is it? Okay, thanks for that. Interesting. And the last one here today, Lance Llewellyn. Lance Llewellyn says, coming headlines, Nigel's cash goes in the trash. Nigel's ace meets bin face. Farage in the garage. Love him. Love him. Nigel's ace meets bin face. That's quite good. What was the one earlier? There, someone did a hashtag. Oh, bin for the win. That's quite good. Hashtag bin for the win. There's a number. I'm sure there'll just be loads of them all over Twitter, won't there? Go count bin face. All right, that's the show. That's the show. Thank you for joining me, as always. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. Without you, it isn't a thing. Really appreciate it. Try and make the best of the day ahead, if you can. I know it's not always easy when you've got commitments. But if you are able to use your time however you see fit, try and make it count. Try and do something valuable with it. You've only got a finite number of days on this earth. All right, I'm not going to get too preachy about it. Until tomorrow morning, take care.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.